For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Hi, this is James Avera. I'm going back to old school. MSR Cast? Oh, come on. Yes, we've been around for a long time, and we're not going away. This is James Avera from Hellstar. Support your local scene. Oh!
Drifting through loss, we escape from the cost of the pain. The healing through years so obscure. Tears and the strain. But this one-way street you're on, you'll never be fulfilled. And this one-way street you're on is gonna get you killed.
Truth and all lies. Welcome, my friend, to episode number 239 of MSRcast, your heavy metal podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek, along with
Sean the Metal Pigeon.
How are you virtually doing, man?
Virtually doing okay. Much better than last time, yeah.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Did the keys help you?
With
the keys to metal, the keys to solve your problem?
The keys of metal helped. Yeah.
There you go. Awesome.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. Things seem a little more calm and relaxed now, you know, than it was back when we last recorded. So,
I might have to disagree.
I say that on a personal level.
Okay, on a personal level.
Global level.
Not a global, we're fucked level. Okay. I got you. Yeah. At least we have some metal to keep us company. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
As we go down in flames, but.
Yeah.
So you've been listening to a lot of new music, or have you been getting back on the bandwagon?
I've been listening to it a lot of new music, because I realized, I was having trouble focusing on new music in April, really, quite a bit. And then May, I was kind of, I was distracted with other things. And then late May, I really got my act together, started going over stuff. Some stuff still slipped through my fingers, because I realized just now, in the show prep we were doing, that I forgot to go back and listen to the new Wolfheart album.
Yes, I listened to that. Finally got my CD in the mail last week, maybe. I pre-ordered it from this company, and it came autographed. But I pre-ordered it before COVID hit, really. And it was like the week before everything really hit. And then I got an email. Yeah, we're closing down for a while, so we're just going to hold on to your pre-order until we're able to open. They were able to open, and they shipped it off to me, and that was good. So I listened to it like three or four times the other day when I was organizing stuff, and it's good. It's a fucking good album.
Yeah, I've been listening to a lot of Paradise Lost, a lot of Catatonia.
I haven't really got into the Catatonia yet.
There's something about it that keeps me coming back.
Yeah.
I like it, especially as like an album to have on in the background. Then I'll always kind of perk up and go, oh, I like that part. Oh, I like that part, you know?
I need to give it more attention.
Really, really enjoying that album.
So let's talk about Paradise Lost. Let me preface this. Are you a fan? Are you a fanboy like me?
No. Well, so I'm not a fanboy, because I would say that there was a time when they got lighter, I sort of checked out on them, I think. And I came back into the fold in 2014, mm-hmm. The Plagues Within. I think I just liked that band heavier, because if you remember, I wasn't that big a fan of Medusa, with the exception of a few songs. But this album, I'm on board with this one. This is like dirty and heavy and
Obsidian. It's Obsidian. I think it's a perfect microcosm of their entire career as a band. It's heavy, it's dirty. There's a lot of clean singing that he did back in like the 90s. There's doom elements. There's that 80s synth metal that they were doing in parts of it. It's just very indicative of their entire career. Like, you could put this album on, say, hey, do you want to know what Paradise Lost is like in their entire career as a band? You can throw this album on, and it hits every little note. And that's what I love about it.
It really kind of also brought back that kind of gothic thing they had going on for a while.
Yeah,
there,
like the first
in the 90s.
Yeah, the very first few albums. Yeah, especially even gothic. But what was the first album you ever got into them with?
The first album I can honestly say that I really loved all the way was The Plague Within.
Oh, man.
I had listened to them a lot, just in bits and starts and stuff before them, but they were a band that always just sort of eluded me, you know?
I remember, this is weird, I remember the first time I ever heard them, it was in my car. I was waiting for my girlfriend at the time. She was doing something, and Rock 101 used to do that 1 hour of metal a week or something. I don't remember what it was called now, but it was 1994, after right around Draconian Times came out, and I don't remember exactly what song it was off the album, but I heard it. I'm like, wow, this is like Typo Negative heavy. This is, yeah, it's like gothic doomy heavy. And I was hooked. I became a fan at that moment. It's weird when you can remember in your past of when you actually became a fan of a band. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I remember after I bought, I think it was Kryptos who told me to buy some of their stuff because I was into Sentenced. I had just gotten into, mm-hmm, Sentenced.
Yeah.
And what's the album that has the weird looking red rings on it? The Paradise Lost record.
Symbol of Life?
Yeah. That was the first one I bought.
Okay.
And I remember taking it back home and I was sort of lukewarm on it because I was like, eh, it's not really what I was thinking it was going to be.
Yeah.
I think if I went back and listened to it now, I'd like it a lot more than I did.
You should go back into their career and do a retrospective. I think you'll find that you enjoy it a lot more than you did back then.
Well, Draconian Times, I do like that album quite a bit.
It's a classic album.
Yeah. Yeah. I went back and did my homework on that one.
Good. Yeah, just they're the 20th anniversary remaster. A few years back, phenomenal album.
Yeah,
I'm a huge fan of Paradise Lost. I really appreciate his time in Bloodbath and what it's done to some of his vocal styles and stuff.
Oh, I love his vocal. His ability to go from the kind of haunting Queen vocal he does, yeah, that sort of. Almost a weird monotone thing he does, and then go to this very kind of almost filthy, brutal style. You know, it's nothing. There's nothing clean about it, or nothing too polished about it. It's very unsettling sometimes, his vocals.
So last week on Monday, we're going to visit. This is a little bit, it goes back to mainstream listeners a little bit. My buddy who I grew up with, he was my best friend since like third grade. It was the 20th anniversary of his passing, right? So we're like, Okay, we're going to find, we looked up where he was buried and all this kind of stuff. So we went to visit the gravesite. And it was the first time we've really ventured outside of our neighborhood in like months, you know? So we're out. We're like, you know what? We're driving near Midtown, downtown. Let's stop by Sound Exchange. Let's support them because I knew they were open. Let's go in there, you know, mask on and everything. We're looking for the new Paradise Lost CD. Couldn't find it. They had the limited edition vinyl. It was like limited to like 400 copies of like black splatter. We just bought that. So
nice.
Yeah, we're supporting the band that we love and then, you know, a great local shop. So are you in Houston and you're looking for a great metal selection, Sound Exchange. Look it up. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I haven't gone to any music stores, but
that's been my first one.
Quite a bit.
What's that?
I'm one of those people. I just can't stay in the house.
Oh, really? Like, what are you doing?
Even if it's just taking a drive and listening to music, yeah, and just going on like back country roads or something, I'll do that.
Okay.
But like last week I went to my favorite pizza place. Kind of near actually where that whole area is, and
which pizza place?
Ate a slice of pizza outside. Yeah,
which one?
Two Brothers Pizza on Holcomb.
Oh, never heard of it.
It's near the medical center. It's so good.
Oh, is it?
I've been going there since like the year 2000.
Nice. Yeah. So, I know you mentioned you just got back into music, but have you been binging any movies, TV recently? I binged something because of you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Can you guess what it is? It's something you recommended that I needed to watch. It's one of your comfort shows.
Frasier?
No. Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec?
Yep.
Yeah.
I went through that entire series, and it was weird watching it because I know I had seen bits and pieces of it here and there, but watching it, I'm like, oh, I understand all these references and all these memes and all these Funko Pops that I've seen. I understand these references now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was a fun show. I liked it.
I went through all my comfort stuff when I really needed the comfort, like in early April and stuff. But after that, I was just like, all right, I'm going to just watch new stuff. So Dave recommended that one show when you're doing Metal Geeks where he, I'm Not Okay With This. It's like a superhero-y type show on Netflix.
I tried getting into that. I couldn't.
I, I liked it. It was cool. I mean, it's just one season, but yeah. It was really cool.
I've been watching a lot of little things like that. Just, you know, I finished Trollhunters finally, that Guillermo del Toro cartoon series on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about that.
I went back. I was looking through my list of all the stuff that I haven't watched, and I went through there. I'm like, oh, I haven't finished that. So I just watched the rest of the season, and there's just a lot of little things like that. I'm like, oh, that looks fun. I'll watch that season. And a lot of stuff has been on in the background while I'm working. You know what I mean? So
there's a really funny show on Netflix called Kim's Convenience.
My wife is actually watching that right now.
That's so funny.
Is it?
I binged the hell out of that. I actually watched it all the way through twice. It was so good.
Really? Okay.
But then there was this on Netflix. There's a really great British, I'm sure people already know about this, and I'm just late to the party, but it's called, it has David Tennant in it. It's called Broadchurch.
Oh, yeah. My wife has watched that.
Yeah, that's a great show, too.
Yeah. Except he has a neck beard, and I can't stand that.
Yeah. It kind of suits his character, though.
I know, but come on. Shave that shit, man. It drives me crazy. Don't be a neck beard.
I can't think of anything else. I just watched a bunch of random stuff, and sometimes I've been like, eh, that was all right. And then, I don't know. I'll think more stuff will come to me as I think about it.
Yeah. I haven't really been super, I don't know. I've been playing a lot of video games in the past week. I, played this game called Maneater. Have you heard about it?
Uh-uh.
It's okay. Do you have an Xbox, right?
No, 360.
Okay, I'm going to let you borrow this game, but okay. It's, imagine an open world game where you're a shark, and there's RPG elements to it, and it's fucking fun as hell. Not the best game ever made, but I've had so much fun playing this game, except right now I'm stuck. I'm waiting for them to do an update because I'm so close to 100%ing this game. With all the achievements, but there's this one, they're monuments that you have to find in the game. There's all these collectibles and stuff like that, you know, but there's monuments and you have to like attack it, and it goes into a little spiel and it's not populating for me. It's there, but it won't let me activate it. So that's causing me to lose like four different achievements. And stuff like, I'm waiting for them to update that because it's a known problem, but this game has a very loose narrative. It's basically like sort of like a shark hunting show on like some cable network channel. And you start as a little baby shark and you grow up and just be this huge megalodon, you know. But the funniest part about this show is all these pop culture references are built into it. You'll be swimming around and like you activate this thing and it's like, it's SpongeBob's house under the ocean, or there's you'll find like the wreck of the Titanic, or this is my favorite one. This is like super, super. Oh, they have the Arrested Development, the banana stand was there. But okay. There's an area where there's three shells, right? Let me say that the narrator of this game is Chris Parnell. You know who that is from SNL and like Rick and Morty and all that. So anytime you do something or you attack something or you get like a collectible, he'll give you this whole spiel about everything. It's really funny. But there's one where like these three shells on the ground and he makes the comment about toilet paper and how three shells are better. You know what I'm talking about?
Right, yeah.
Demolition Man?
Yeah.
I was like, wow, they really pulled that one.
I just watched that movie like 2 weeks ago.
Did you really?
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, that is great. I recommend this game. It's what they call a budget game. So it's only $40. I got it at Walmart. So it was only, sometimes people don't know this, but Walmart, when they put out new games, sometimes they're about $8 to $10 cheaper than other stores. So it was like
kind of a loss leader. Yeah.
What's that?
Kind of like their loss leader or something.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the game was like $32.88, and as soon as I keep on going back and waiting for that update, but I just keep on going back to the game. It's just mindless fun. You get to eat people and kill sharks, and you have to fight sperm whales and orca sharks, and it's so much fun, dude. I really love this game. It's sort of Assassin's Creed style with some of the missions you have to do. Some of it can get very repetitive and that kind of stuff, but it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. The only bad thing is there needs to be like some metal playing in the background while you're playing it, you know what I mean?
Right.
But, yeah. Alrighty. Back to the show, I guess, after that segue. So let's preface real quick. I've been watching a lot of live stream shows. The last two that I saw were the Amorphous shows, the one that was yesterday as a recording this and the one that was today. In American dollars, it was maybe $10 or $11 per show. So much, so worth it. You watched a little bit of it. I let you sample a little bit.
Yeah.
The sound was amazing. The camera work, they had like the 360 camera. Everybody was like, they were sort of like in a circle. And I don't know, everything about the show was phenomenal. And I've also seen some other ones where they weren't so great. And they're some of my favorite bands. Like the first Insomnium show was a little rough. The one they did, Winter's Gate, a few weeks ago was great.
Yeah.
And then they played songs from like the first two albums, which was phenomenal. And what else have I seen? I watched the Slay at Home Festival last weekend, put on by Metal Injection. Our old friends over at Metal Injection, where we used to be part of, they did this whole thing raising money. All these different guys from bands, basically, you know, all staying at home, doing their part separately, and then putting it together. There is all these different bands doing stuff, and they did these bands where they had people from other bands covering songs, and they had original compositions that they were doing. Metal Injection, if you go to their YouTube page, they just started releasing them separately on their page like last day or so. We were watching some earlier. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I caught some of the there was a festival, like a digital festival one day, and I caught a couple bands there.
Like who?
I haven't really been plugged into all that stuff so much. I support those bands doing it. It just, maybe it's just me being still a cranky bitch from having all my shows canceled that I was supposed to go to and feeling kind of bummed out about that.
Don't be like that, man. Don't be like that.
I think now, I mean, if there's something in the future, like you mentioned the Enslaved stuff before we started recording, I'll probably go and watch one of those.
Yeah, Enslaved announced recently they're doing three shows, I think July, August, and September. I'm going to try to pull this up while we talk about it, but they're going to be free. They did one a couple weeks after everything hit. They did a free show, and it was pretty phenomenal. But the first one, I know they're doing all request set, and they're going to do stuff from their entire career. The second month, they're doing an album in its entirety. I can't remember which one they said. But the third month is they're going to be playing their new album that's coming out. They pushed it back because of the COVID until like September, October. I can't remember. They're going to be doing their new album, and they're all going to be free. So, which is cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's some, you know, we're in Texas, obviously, and you know, Texas is further along and opening than some of the other states, but there have been some domestic tours happening. In fact, right in tonight is Black Flag and TSOL are playing at
a
warehouse.
Really?
Yeah, it's Houston Punk Fest.
It's still going on.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, unless there's been some cancellation, I kept on looking at the event page.
Oh my god! So the other show that I watched, which was pretty cool, was Century Media put on this Isolation Festival. And I discovered a few bands that I really, really enjoyed. And we're going to be playing something from them tonight. So the first band that I want to talk about tonight is this band called The Offering. You listened to this. What did you think?
I thought it was cool. It's a strange sound. It's kind of, you know, heavy, traditional, metal-y with some weird extreme elements, you know, unexpectedly thrown in.
They're very, yeah, they're avant-garde, you know, power extreme metal, I guess. Yeah. I thought they were one of the bands that performed on the Century Media, the Isolation Festival, and they surprised the hell out of me. I really, really enjoyed them. Everything about them, I mean, they're traditional heavy metal. You can hear black, you can hear thrash, you can hear power metal. They sort of cover the gamut, and the whole album is really good too. So, yeah, I really enjoyed these guys. They came out, I think their last album, this album Home, was in 2019. Totally flew by me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's never too late. So let's check out the band called The Offering. This is Ultraviolence from the album Home, and we'll be right back.
Ultraviolence!
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you
again. MSRcast 239. That was the offering with Ultra Violence, which is also the name of a fantastic Lana Del Rey album.
Oh, I was going to say Death Angel. the Ultra Violence.
Death Angel as well, and Lana Del Rey.
I never thought we would say those two bands together.
The Offering album is called Home.
That's right.
2019 release. Yeah, so we missed this one last year.
Yeah. It would probably be a little bit, would have been higher in my my best of last year.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's a pretty killer album. That's one of the bands that I discovered through the Century Media Isolation Festival, which is pretty cool. Some of the bands that played it were Based or Bossed, however you want to say them, Hideous Divinity, Svart Crown, The Offering, Bonded, Deserted Fear, Angelus Apatrida, Omnium Gatherum, which was definitely disappointing. They only played like one song. Lucifer, some band called Bortnagar. I never really heard of them. They played two songs, which is pretty cool. Voivod, Insomnium, and then Dead Lord. It was a pretty good lineup. And Voivod was very interesting. It was, I don't know. It was very different, if you know what I mean. The drummer didn't play. He was creating animations and stuff like that for it. It was really cool. Very artsy. And it's Voivod for you. You know what I mean? Very creative.
Right.
It was a good show though. And it was free. It was like in the middle of May. So I tried to, since it was a free show, I at least donated, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, and I discovered a few new bands. So that win-win.
Yeah, was that the one that they were doing? They were all playing from their bedrooms or something.
Some of them were, yeah.
Okay. One of the shows I caught was like the band was like in their rehearsal space.
Yeah.
Crammed in there.
Yeah, that was a bunch of them were doing that.
Yeah.
But some of the stuff from like the Slay at Home, the Metal Injection one, I like. And it was very interesting who they had on there. They had like, I remember this one, there's a Cannibal Corpse cover. They had a singer from Black Dahlia Murder. It had a guy from Gwar, and he was playing in a fucking chicken coop the whole time. It's great. Okay. It's all on their YouTube now. Go check it out. Riley from Elegion played, and the singer was in his bedroom, and there was like these two Kingdom Hearts swords on the wall. I'm like, this guy's really a geek. I love it.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. You know who else has done a live stream last week?
Who's that?
Green Carnation.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
One of my new favorite bands.
See, I thought that they were new to me because I remember the name, mentioning to me the name a while ago. So I figured you already knew about them.
Well, I knew about them. I just, in passing, listened to them, but it wasn't until this new album that grabbed me. I mean, they've been around for a long time. So this is their 20th year together, but they haven't put an album out in like 14 years. But a full length album, the last album that came out was sort of like an acoustic thing, but, Leaves of Yesteryear, I absolutely love this album. I'm glad you picked this.
Yeah.
I would be happy with playing the whole album right now in its entirety.
I mean, this is, for our purposes, really the only song we could play is Sentinels, because it's like the most of the songs in the album are like 11 minutes long or something.
Yes, that's okay.
It's like a very progressive length type thing, but yeah, it doesn't feel like it. Because I think the songs, they don't really repeat themselves. There's a lot of difference and variation in there. They have a really unique sound. I can't quite describe it yet. I haven't really written a review for them, but I'm supposed to soon. And I was thinking, how am I going to describe this band?
There's elements of progressive metal. There's elements of doom and death. there's elements of hard rock in them.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, they do this progressive death stuff to the best ability. They're one of my absolutely new favorite bands. I went back and discovered, I actually had some of their old promo stuff. I'm like, oh, I actually had these guys before, you know? They have thousands of like old promos from back in the day, you know, just these cardboard cutout things.
Right.
Yeah, man. I love this band now. It was like a switch turned on. I'm like, oh yeah, I love this stuff. Yeah. It's a great experiment. It's great, a great experience when you can find a band so far into their career that, you know, I've heard about them so many times, but I never really, I don't know why I didn't pay attention to it. You know what I mean?
Right. Because
it was right up my alley in the beginning.
Yeah, sometimes it just takes the right album, I think.
I think so. And our friend Will Bozars would, like, slap me around right now from hearing this from me. But sorry, dude.
Yeah.
I finally caught on. But, so what is your opinion on this album?
I mean, it caught me by surprise. I don't really know how I stumbled onto it. I think it might have just been like a recommend on Spotify, but I think when you mentioned hard rock, that's what I love the most about it. That something, you know, it's something that I go back to in the summer a lot, is I want sort of a loose hard rock.
Yeah.
Listening, like I'll usually just go back and listen to like old Tesla records or whatever, but like I like an injection of that sound to kind of break up the sort of,
right,
you know, nonstop power metal, extreme metal kind of world I live in. So
I agree on that for sure.
Yeah. I think it's really as simple as that. I was just kind of like, yeah, these riffs are great and these songs are hooky. And something as simple as that.
That's the key word you said is hooky.
Yeah.
There's so much hook in this band, but they don't fall from their style, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, the songwriting is complex, but it's not the complexity doesn't ruin the sort of listenability of it, I would say.
Yes. So let's get into this. This is from the brand new 2020 release, Leaves of Yesteryear. This is Green Carnation Sentinels. They're coming for you. We'll be right back.
Set you free. Sentinels of chaos. mind shaping all you. Am I just too blind to see?
Listen to news of chaos.
For the truth.
Oh,
Hey, welcome back to the show. And that was a new band from England called Fellowship. When I say new, I mean they're so new they don't even have an album out yet. This is just a three-song EP that's on Bandcamp. They just released a new single last week that's a cover of Can You Feel the Love Tonight, the Elton John song.
Okay. Really?
And yeah. And they're one of these bands, because, like, you know, in the UK, there's this sort of nascent power metal revival going on over there, too, that's kind of matching what's going on in Italy and the United States. And, you know, bands like Dark Forest are included in that. And I think Fellowship are one of the newer bands that I'm going to lump in there, because they have a sound that's, it's very classic Euro power, but they have a kind of a twin guitar thing going. So they have that maidenish feel to them, too.
Yeah.
A little bit. Their sound really owes more to Sonata Arctica and Freedom Call, that kind of thing. But they have their own unique stamp on it. They're sort of dorky in a really endearing way.
I can tell by their logo.
Yeah.
It's sort of that fantasy style logo.
Yeah. This song in particular, though, I think is really remarkable. It's just, it's such an inspired song. It's such a, mm-hmm. it's got such a clever hook to it. And lyrics that you don't normally hear a power metal band sing about, like where they're empowering lyrics, but they're really introspective at the same time.
If they don't
happen a lot in power metal.
If they don't do a song or an album or a tribute to the Fellowship of the Rings, what are they doing?
You know, it's funny because I guess we'll find out, because the guys on the Powerful podcast, they're going to interview them on Saturday.
Oh, cool.
And I'll make sure they ask that question. So,
yeah, tell people about the Powerful podcast. Let's pimp them out.
Yeah. I mean, they're the best power metal podcast in the world. I would say they're the only power metal exclusive podcast.
We should get those guys. We should, do a collab, as they say.
Yeah. They just did an episode with, Chris from Ailstorm.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, we're going to be playing them.
Yes. Yes.
Pretty soon here. In fact, I think pretty really soon.
I was about to say next.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by the Ailstorm album. It's the first time I really listened to an Ailstorm album since the first one, like front to back, and just kind of giving it a chance. And it's fun, you know. What can you say? You don't go in expecting more than that.
I think just because you have. Are we already talking about Ailstorm or?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's because you have a appreciation now for Gloryhammer, and
I think so.
Their songwriting it's very close in style, except one's about fantastical beasts and all this kind of stuff and storylines. The other one's about pirates. It's very close.
Yeah. And you know, I used to have a real problem with Ailstorm a couple years ago, because I think my first interaction with that band was seeing them live. I can't remember who they were opening for.
Yeah.
And I remember
that. Was it Scout Bar, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I was expecting them to really come out and commit to the pirate angle, and they didn't. They just kind of came out.
No, that's the band Swashbuckle.
Right. Right.
Full pirate costume, the fake parrot on their shoulder.
Yeah.
That's what you're expecting.
I was also a little more uptight about what I expected bands to be at that time.
No.
So it's partially my fault. And, you know, now that I've gotten into Gloryhammer and Chris Bowes' other project, and, you know, he's the guy at the front of Ailstorm.
Yes.
Talking to people who are fans of that band, becoming a fan myself, you know, of Gloryhammer, and then giving Ailstorm another chance. I always liked their first album. I still actually have that album. And this one's fun. I mean, it's got all sorts of weird...
Oh my god. Sounds. I just realized the Pirate Scorn track is from Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah.
What?
Did you?
What the series? Really? What?
Did you hear the chiptune version of the album?
No. I saw that they were there, like the 1700s version or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all chiptune. Yeah.
That's great.
Wow. Yeah, actually, that song, I think that song, the Pirates one you mentioned, that's actually my least favorite.
I'm waiting for them to do the pirate song from Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland. That'd be a perfect song from the cover.
Yeah. The song that I'm going to be playing is actually one of the weirder songs in the album because it's so, serious almost, and so straight faced and almost power metal-y. And I don't think that power metal is a thing that I would attribute to Alestorm that much. But in this song, it definitely has that kind of power metal lift. And I added this song to my anti-anxiety power metal playlist. I was like, yeah, this one's going on there.
Yeah, cool. So,
yeah.
Wow. Alestorm, man.
Yeah, I know.
I'm trying to remember who they toured with when we saw them.
I've seen Alestorm so many times, I can't remember.
Yeah. Very cool. So the album's out now, right? It's on streaming services right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's get into it. You got anything else?
Actually, you know, we were talking about a powerful podcast. One of the hosts of the podcast does a spoken word bit on the Wood and the Weg Part 2 on the new Alestorm record.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Fernando Rey. Yeah, he does the guest vocals, like the spoken word part where they have the Spanish pirate come in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And talk. That's him.
Really?
Yeah, pretty cool.
That's
yeah.
pretty awesome.
Yeah.
We need to get that. Whose album can we be on, man? Come on. Hook it up.
Yeah.
Let's do it. That's cool, man. Yeah, we need to hook a collaboration up with those guys. Those guys are really cool. I like their show a lot. Let's check out Alestorm, Call of the Waves. I almost said Wolves for some reason. This is from Curse of the Crystal Coconut. Perfect movie title. I want to see that movie.
Which is a great album title, yeah.
It is. I want to see that movie. We'll be right back. Alestorm it up, baby.
Many times
Welcome back to the show, my friend. Episode number 239 of NSRcast. We just finished listening to a band that I wanted to sort of talk about now. We've played these guys on the show many, many times before. Local Houston legends, Dead Horse. This is sort of, I wanted to talk about this album because, have you seen those things that are going around Facebook for a while where, hey, name your top album that influenced you and made your music choices what they are?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Not like your top 10 albums of all time, but what really influenced your love of music, your styles of music. And I did this, and I picked this as one of my albums. And on the last episode of Metal Geeks Podcast was Dave, and we actually had Justin on. We really went into depth into our 10 albums that we all picked. But Dead Horse were a very important part of my early metal development. Like 89, 90, 91, 92. I was going to so many Dead Horse shows when I wasn't supposed to be. Sneaking out, going to shows. I remember first and only time I ever did a stage dive was at the Vatican in a Dead Horse show, and nice. Wound up with a black eye. I was like, "Yep, never doing that again."
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved these guys. Saw them so many times. I remember getting this Horse Core cassette because I heard it on KPFT with Wes and Bill back in the day on Sweet Nightmares. And I think they even played him on that radio show on Rock 101 that I was talking about. And I remember being at the Galleria Mall with my mom, and there was this one of the record stores that they had in the mall. I flipped when they had the cassette. And this was back in the day when they had do you remember when cassettes were in those long white cases?
Yeah, long boxes.
Yeah. No, not the boxes, but they had these long plastic thing. They were on the shelf, and you pulled them out.
Okay.
I begged my mom. You got to get me this album. She's like, I don't know. That doesn't look very good. I'm like, oh, it's great. They're a local band. It's great. It's perfect. Yeah, and I was such a huge fan of these guys. I wrote to them, and they actually sent me a demo version of the next album they were working on, Peaceful Deaths and Pretty Flowers. I was so happy with that. And I mentioned Bill Bates, who was my mentor, one of my good friends. I wound up with some of his original Dead Horse demo cassettes after he had passed, and they're very, very prized possession for me. I mean, I even have I don't even want to play them. I don't want to mess them up. You know what I mean? But these are cassette versions of like demo stuff, like where they just hand wrote everything on them. It's really, really cool. This is one of the most underrated local metal bands that come out of Houston. They did get a lot of, you know, exposure, and like Pantera was wearing their shirts and stuff like that, so they had a little bit of exposure, and they did tour a little bit, but I don't think they ever got to where they needed to be. But they are Houston legends, and I really, really love this band.
Yeah.
So cool. Yeah, World War from Horse Core, an unrelated story that's time consuming, from 1990 when the album came out. But 1989, 1990, one of those two.
Yeah. Right.
If you can find these guys, they're all over Spotify too. They've put out albums recently in the past few years, and I saw their last show ever, and I'm using air quotes on that because you never know, they might come back. They might come back. We don't know.
Right, yeah.
Were you a big fan of these guys, or did you know about them growing up?
I heard the name a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't until we started doing the podcast that I actually went back and listened to them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. So before Dead Horse, we had something way different. There's a brand new album from Pale Divine coming out this month, actually, I believe. Consequence of Time comes out the end of this month. The song we heard was Satan in Starlight. And these guys are very lo-fi 70s style doom metal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
and they're really, really good. I love the artwork and the just it, everything about what they do. They fit. They're not overly complex. They just write. They write well rounded, you know, 70s stoner doom, and it's this great, man.
They're on Cruz del Sur too, is one of our favorite.
Yes, they are.
Labels, yeah.
I just received this promo recently, actually in the past couple of days, and I've been jamming it a lot. So yeah, wanted to pick a song from this album to give a little bit of a preview to the album coming out into the months.
Yeah, I liked it. I need to listen to the entire album.
Doom on, my friend. Doom on.
The cover art is excellent too.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's very cool. It's like an old wizard or something.
Gandalf-looking guy.
Yeah, it was like a big, huge skies and fire around him, of course, as you would be. As you know, you would always have fire around you. But it's a consequence of time because there's like a huge, I can't think of what it's called. What are those, the sand of time saying, what are they called?
Oh, the hourglass.
Hourglass, thank you.
Yeah.
Very cool. What was before that?
Before that was Hailstorm, Call of the Waves.
So during the break, we listened to Hailstorm again. They're fun. This song, yeah, I can definitely hear what you're talking about. It's more power metal influence, especially with like the songwriting, but with total different instrument.
Yeah.
Like if you replaced a hurdy-gurdy or an accordion, whatever he's using.
Right.
And replace that with like Freedom Call style guitars. It's super fucking power metal.
Yeah, this was on the album. This was the song that stood out the most. It's not typical for Hailstorm, which is, I guess, why it caught my attention so much. But I did like the other stuff on the album too. The first song of the album is fantastic. So,
yes,
can't remember the title, but yeah.
The party track or whatever it's called.
Yeah, the party track, yeah.
We're listening to that in the car on the way home today. I got to pull this up. I can't think of the title.
Something about how money's the only thing that matters to him and stuff.
Treasure Chest Party Quest. That's what it is.
It's drinking
rum and shooting guns, and it's like old musket guns. And have you seen the video for this?
Yeah.
fucking
it's pretty good.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
It's it's a cool album. It's you know, it's pirate metal. There is truthfully a subgenre for pirate metal, and these guys definitely play it. That's just what I can say.
Although this is the album, I'll say is their least piratey, like where they're actually some of these lyrics, if you read them, they're really kind of railing their fan base a little bit.
You think so? Why?
I mean, and having heard what Chris has said about his views on the whole pirate metal tag, like it's something that they just reject. Like they're like, no, and I think that first song, like the lyrics of that first song, basically sum up the view of that band. Like literally, I think they spell it out for you. It's like, you know.
Well, I mean, they cover Donkey Kong Country from the television series. I mean, come on.
Yeah. There's a huge amount of tongue in cheekness going along with Hailstorm. Yeah,
that's very true. Cool. What do we got coming up, man?
Bruce Dickinson, The Chemical Wedding.
Yeah,
one of the great metal albums of all time.
Agreed. This was definitely a big influence on me. This is one of his finest albums, really. Iron Maiden.
Exactly. I mean, I would say even stepping beyond his work, I think just The Chemical Wedding alone, in terms of if you look at the best metal albums in the 90s, it'd be in my top 10, if not in my top 5 for that decade. I honestly think it's one of the best metal albums ever recorded, because it's just so brutally heavy, and it incorporates everything about traditional metal and melody and melancholy and drama and great concept. And it's such an epic album and such a brooding, brutal sound, you know?
It's a heavy fucking album.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, all of his solo stuff, it's really, really good. even like Tattooed Millionaire. I mean, I remember when that came out, it was just, I loved it so much.
Yeah. His solo career is so, it's so fascinating to me because it's, there's every album is such a unique thing. Even Tyranny of Souls, which some people say was kind of like, it's too similar to the Axe and the Birth, Chemical Wedding style. It's like, I don't know. He was doing some unique stuff on that album too. So I mean, everything he's done has had, you know,
Skunkworks is total fucking like 90s, like alternative metal.
Yeah. And kind of weirdly proggy too. And
yeah.
And yeah, it's a good album. Like if you go back and revisit that album, it's like, this has got some good stuff on here.
Balls of Picasso was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Balls of Picasso is one of the most fascinating albums ever recorded, I think. And in terms of like a metal musician, it's just such a weird off the wall album and the story behind it, how many times they re-recorded it and all the producers they went through and the musicians they had to cycle in and stuff. That's an expensive experiment, that album.
I don't know all those stories.
Yeah, like the first version of that, like when they went to do the album, like, you know, Tattooed Millionaire came out, they went back on tour with Maid. He went back to do another album, and he had Keith Olsen doing it first, really famous reggae rock producer. And they spent a lot of money doing that, and then they were just like, he was unhappy with it, Bruce, and he scrapped it, fired Keith Olsen. They went to go do it with Skin.
Mm-hmm.
As producer, and they were doing a weird kind of modern, a lot of future elements on that album, and he didn't like that either, so they scrapped that one. They basically scrapped two recording sessions.
Wow.
And some of that stuff ended up surviving and making it onto like some B-sides and rarities and stuff. If you ever go and get that Best of Bruce Dickinson,
yeah,
the Two-Fist compilation,
he has
a good little audio track on there where he talks about his career. And he explains a lot of the story behind that album. It's pretty interesting.
Okay. I'll have to go back and listen to that. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I know, yeah, there's some weird stuff on that B-sides that he did back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter was such a good song that it basically started his solo career. And they're like, right, you know what's such a great song? We'll have Iron Maiden do it too.
Yeah.
You know? All right. I guess a little bit of sad news about Bruce is that I guess his estranged wife was recently discovered dead.
Yeah.
Do we know anything more about it or?
I guess they just said it was an accident and tragic accident, which, you know, it's still sad.
At least it wasn't an accident of birth.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that news, and I don't know when it was. It was sometime in, like, May or something,
yeah.
Early May.
Yes.
I remember reading the article and just, like, groaning and just, like, oh.
Poor dude.
Because, you know, because they were making a point of, like, oh, it's his estranged wife. And it's like, that doesn't – he's still going to grieve.
Right. Like, the only thing that means is that they haven't officially gone through the divorce proceedings yet.
Yeah, I mean, they've been separated for a while. He has
a new girlfriend.
Know. Yeah, and you know, it's funny when I read that he was estranged, and I don't really look into his personal life that often.
Yeah.
Remember when you let me borrow that biography, uh-huh, and I read it all the way through, and I complained to you that I was like, well, there's nothing about his personal life here. He just skips it entirely. I kind of get it, like, mm-hmm, you know, like he's private about stuff like that, so.
He has the right to be, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Just because they weren't together and they doesn't mean he didn't still care about her. So I saw some really nasty comments. It's just like, God, just don't look at him. Don't look at the comments on
this. I mean, you know, it's she was the mother to three, you know, like Austin Dickinson, Rice Romaine. It's
exactly, right?
Family. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still sad.
Yeah.
So in tribute to her, and in tribute to the Mighty Pipes of Bruce Dickinson, we're going to play. This is actually requested by my wife. I took her. We were running some errands today, and we're listening to Bruce Dickinson. She's like, "You should play some Bruce Dickinson on the show tonight." I was like, "All right, you twisted my arm. We'll do it.
I will never argue against playing Bruce Dickinson."
That's right. So check it out. This is Chemical Wedding from The Chemical Wedding.
In the distance, here those thoughts could be real. Always assumed that it was near. Not having a single doubt. Not having a second thought. The way is in the end of all the sea. The way something from the bottom of the sea. These kinds of things can be revealed. Who would believe? Fear of the unknown will stay on. Because no God has ever saved anyone. The way from the seabed of the sea. The way.
welcome back to the show. That was a mysterious new track from Voivod.
Actually, it's not. Why? It's really? It's from the last album, The Wake. And I don't know why 2 years later they made a single out of it, but they did.
Yeah.
They made a digital and then like a 7-inch EP, I guess. With the this song, the regular version, then like a live version, and a live version of another song. But this is one of my favorite songs on that album when it came out, and it popped up on my Spotify release radar like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. And it has not left my mind since then.
So did they re-record it, or is it just the original version from the album?
I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know if it's a different version. It says metal section, so
maybe a different mix of it or something.
Yeah, maybe. But it's just such an interesting track. It's mesmerizing, really. I've always thought Voivod were creative songwriters, and just their style was very different. No matter what genre they were diving into, but there's just some weirdness on this song that I can't get out of my mind. It's like an earworm to me.
Yeah, it's definitely Voivod. I guess when I was listening to it, I was like, boy, I have a hard time even describing or categorizing Voivod.
You know, the first word that comes to mind when I think about Voivod, it's science fiction.
Yeah,
it's like it's their aesthetic, their look, their logos and their imagery and everything. It's very weird sci-fi to me, and it comes across in their guitar tones and the way they write their music. It all sort of fits this, and it all comes from, I guess, when some of the albums in the early mid-90s, like Angel Rat and stuff like that, that were just weird and bonkers and strange.
Right.
Doesn't like their original, you know, the original sound, but I don't know. I've always loved Voivod. Have you ever seen them live?
Mm-mm. Oh, wait, no, I did. They opened for someone.
Was it recently or?
No, it was sometime before. It was either before or after Newstead left. Okay. Or he was in the band, but he couldn't tour with them or something. I don't remember.
The last time I saw them, I remember seeing them on an Ozfest tour when they were playing. And then I saw them maybe 4 or 5 years ago when they were touring with I feel like it was Napalm Death and Exhumed and a couple other bands. Yeah, that was a good show. That was at Fitzgerald's, when the last show they ever saw there.
Huh. I can't remember who they were playing with. I feel like it was at Engine Room, though. It was a long time ago.
Maybe right. Yeah, they put on an interesting show, too. Voivod, I don't want to say they're a polarizing band, but you're really either a fan or you're not. You know what I mean?
Well, they're not an easily accessible band, I think, is the most fair thing to say. Okay. You know,
Fine. I get them, and I totally love what they do. So,
I've talked to, you know, metal fans who listen to complex stuff, and for them, Voivod just a little bit too out there, you know. So
it's probably what I love about it.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
And I really do love their guitar tone.
Yeah.
So. One of the things I wanted to talk about, this is something we usually do on Metal Geeks, where we talk about what's tickling our geek, what we're excited for. I want to sort of bring the segment to a version of it to MSRcast. So I'll start. One of the things I'm excited for is the upcoming Arion album, Transitus. Have you been following it at all?
No.
Who's going to be on it?
No.
All right. I'm going to pull this up. One of the first artists they announced is, I guess his name is Tommy Karavik. Do you know who that is? Yeah. Who's that guy?
Sounds familiar. He's Mr. Seventh Wonder, Mr. Camelot.
That's right. The next person I want to talk about is the I guess the narrator of it is Tom Baker, one of the original Doctor Who cast members. I don't remember which number Doctor he is, but yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
And the next one I want to talk about is somebody you might know personally. She's a local girl. She's in Oceans of Slumber.
Oh, okay.
Cammy Gilbert is
a good choice.
One of the main vocalists, one of the main characters on the upcoming Arion album.
That's cool, yeah.
So is Simone Simons. She was just announced today. Yeah. Weird. And the drummer from Threshold, apparently, I had no idea he was a singer. He has his own band too. He was announced as one of the vocalists. I went back and listened to some of his own music. He sounds a lot like Corey Glover from Living Color.
Oh,
like
wow.
Almost exactly. It's great. I'm like, oh wow. Because when they did that, what Arian does, he puts these guessing games out on his social media. So he'll play a little segment of the song. Everybody try to guess who it is. So when I heard that, I'm like, oh, that sounds like Corey Glover, but it turned out to be the drummer from Threshold. I'm like, wow, it surprised me. Cause it kept on saying it's not who you think it is. It's somebody who's not really known as that much as a vocalist. So I love how we can get new people involved into his projects. I'm so excited. I can't wait to pre-order this album, and I'm going to get Cammy to sign my copy.
Those are the only three guests they've announced right now?
I don't know. Not really. I'm trying to pull up a list, but I don't know. So what's tickling your geek? What are you excited for?
Well, I'm excited. Well, the new Judicator album is going to be dropping in July.
Who?
I've been looking forward to that for a while. And I think sometime after that is the new Carrick Angren album. I'm looking forward to that one, too.
I've heard one song off of that already. Yeah.
Yeah, that one's coming out first. I think that one's coming out in late June. So those two for the summer. I should mention that there was as far as like tickling my metal geek, I would say there was a podcast I was listening to recently called Wind of Change.
Oh yeah.
It's about the Scorpions.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's put out by the same guys who do the Pod Save America podcast, if anyone knows of that. I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't listen to it, but it's not a political podcast. It's this one is basically just this 8-episode mini-series podcast about, did the CIA write Wind of Change, the Scorpion song? And this journalist basically goes on this kind of 10-year investigative trip and he goes all over the place and he interviews all these people, people who were involved with the CIA or had knowledge of the CIA and the Scorpions themselves, and you know, people behind the scenes, Doc McGee, the band's manager. And it's a really fascinating series. It's really well put together, really well produced. It almost has the air of like a really tension-filled mystery because you're not really sure. The stakes are so low. I mean, no, it's not life and death. But for some reason, by around episode 4, it's just really mysterious, and people were refusing to talk to him, and you're just kind of like, what the fuck is going on here?
So, you know? So this is a mystery podcast about the Scorpions?
Well, I mean, it's based, so here's the premise. This guy is a journalist, and a friend of his.
So is this all fictional?
No, it's true.
Oh, based on a true story.
No, it is a true story. This is like an actual news-ish podcast. Oh. So what actually happened was the guy who was the host of this podcast is a journalist who had a friend who worked in like the State Department and stuff, and he knew people who worked in intelligence. And one time this old CIA officer guy was talking to him, and he said, hey, you know that song, Wind of Change? Yeah, the CIA wrote that. And he had heard it from an older guy who worked at the CIA, who was just, you know, shooting the shit, I guess, one day, like talking old war stories and stuff. So this gets back to this journalist, and he just thinks, this is so ridiculous. This can't possibly be true. But he goes back and he talks to the friend of his who told him about the story. And he says, can you talk to the guy who you heard this from, who worked at the CIA, and ask him if you can talk about it on the record? And so they call the guy, and this is in the first episode. And the guy goes, I cannot talk about that. There's no fucking way I'll get arrested. Like, I can't. Sorry. And that launches this whole thing of this whole investigative reporting about what is going on here. Did the CIA really have an involvement in, you know, creating this song to help destabilize the USSR and stuff like that? And, you know, that song was really tied to the fall of the Berlin Wall, that one. And when I first heard about the podcast series, I, as a Scorpions fan, I immediately got offended, because I was just like, you're telling me that the band who wrote Still Loving You and all these classic Scorpion songs that came way before Wind of Change. Wind of Change came out in 1990, mind you. And the Scorpions had legions of awesome songs back then. You're telling me the band that wrote those songs couldn't write Still Wind of Change? I mean, the song has their DNA embedded in its melodies, and it has a whistle intro that only Klaus Meiner could come up with, because he's the singer. And the reason why he, you know, as he explains in interviews, is that, you know, I didn't have a guitarist with me, so I had to whistle the melody, and I just decided to keep the damn whistling in there, basically. So I listened to this podcast series. I highly recommend everyone to go check it out, because it's really entertaining, really addictive. I binged it. The final episode is a confrontation between the journalist and Klaus Meiner, where he schedules this interview and he goes and talks to him. It's all building up to that point, to where they're going to confront the singer of the Scorpions and ask him, like, dude, did you write this, or was the CIA? And obviously you can guess what his reaction is. He's just kind of like, what the fuck? You know? But they're all the people they talk to, and the fact that they asked the CIA straight up, can you give us all the documents you have on between your relationship between the CIA and the Scorpions? And they say, we can't confirm or deny anything. So there's all this weird, nothing's ever answered, really.
That's the weirdest thing you've ever said. There's documentation between the CIA and the Scorpions.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't even make sense.
I have a theory. I mean, after listening to the podcast, I have a theory on what might have happened.
Okay. It's not going to spoil anything, is it?
Well, okay, if you can fast forward if you feel like this might spoil something.
I can't, because you're about to tell me.
Well, do you want me to say it?
Yeah, go ahead.
So here's what I think happened. I think that based on the timeline of when things were written, recorded, and released, I think Klaus Meiner clearly wrote this song himself. Like, the stories about how he wrote it, the details, the things he remembers. He has the book in his possession of where he wrote the lyrics. And he remembers it was a Mickey Mouse book. It had Mickey freaking Mouse on the cover, a little notebook he would write lyrics in. And he still has the damn book.
Don't all German metal people write their lyrics in songs in a Mickey Mouse notebook?
Yeah.
That's obvious.
There's so much evidence that he wrote the song. But even he admits at some point, he's like, is it possible that, like, they took this song that we released and we were releasing it as a single, and then they made, they tried to influence it and use it for their own aims? That's entirely possible. And that's what I think happened. I think that if there is a CIA relationship, it's basically them forcing this song over the Iron Curtain. And really, I mean, pushing.
I could see that. It's just like, I don't know, some presidential people using songs to further their campaigns.
Yeah.
To get a message across that, I don't know. I could see that.
Well, the thing that makes me think that is that there's – the journalist does some digging and he finds out there was an instance in the late 90s of this meeting of a dinner in Washington – of all these old CIA professionals, like retired and stuff, hanging out, eating dinner. And there was a guy sitting there at the table. He was wearing a leather jacket and everything. He looked like a rocker, sort of. And the host of the dinner was this eccentric guy who threw these lavish dinners, but he introduced the guy in the leather jacket, and he said, this is an American rock star who really helped us take down the Soviets. He was really instrumental in helping us.
Who was that?
No one knows his identity. No one knows like what he looked like.
Was it Bon Jovi?
Well, I did some thinking about it, and I was like, this has to be David Hasselhoff, because Hasselhoff was the only other guy who had a big single that was considered, alongside Wind of Change, to be a really emotional song to the German people that was tied to the fall of the Berlin Wall. The song is called like Looking for Freedom or something like that. Something Freedom.
No.
It was a huge hit in Germany, and like Germans
never really heard Hasselhoff sing. So,
well, I mean, it's funny.
I know he has that career, but I've never officially heard it.
It would make sense that, you know, CIA officers wouldn't really recognize him as a rock star. You know, if anyone remembered him, it'd be from Knight Rider,
right?
But yeah, anyway, so I'm getting into the weeds here. But yeah, I really recommend everyone go check this podcast out.
What's it called again?
Wind of Change.
Wind of Change.
It's on Spotify.
Okay, I'm going to have to check this out. This is very intriguing now.
It's very good.
Going back before we talked about the fall of Russia, going back to Arion. So we have Tommy Karavik. We have Cammy Gilbert from Motion of the Slumber. We have, of course, Michael Mills, Mike Toehider from, of course, Toehider. We have Amanda Somerville, first time, is on an Arion album. We have Paul Manzi, who from the band Arena, and he was originally in the band 70s band Sweet, The Sweet. We have some guitar player. His name is Joe Satriani. I don't know if he's ever done anything, but people might know him.
It's a pretty big get there.
Yeah. We have Diane Van Gersbergen.
Nice.
Of Ex Libris. And we have, like I said, the drummer from Threshold, Johan James. And the last one they announced was Simone Simons. So it's
lineup.
Shaping up. They're all playing characters. They're all playing, of course, it's all, you know, narrative-driven story again. Don't know what it's about, but I know Simone Simons plays the Angel of Death, so I'm down for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I know they said
he's always good in guest spots.
And the sound clip that they released does not. It's very, her vocals are different. She's very more in the lower octave, so more rocking. Like more rock sounding than like her normal like Epica stuff, so yeah. It's interesting. I'm enjoying it so far. Yeah,
Amanda Somerville is a good choice too. I mean, especially she's a great lead vocalist, but I really love the way Tobias Sammet uses her in Avantasia, and she even did a lot of backing vocals on Ed Guy albums.
Well, yeah, I was about to say her albums she did with Kiske are really good too.
Yeah, she's great as a lead vocalist. For some reason, I just think that she, as a harmony voice in the background, she gives some songs and choruses so much lift.
Wasn't she originally, she started out as a vocal coach for the style, right?
Yeah, a vocal coach and like a session vocalist for, she works with Sasha Paith a lot, that whole Gate Studios crowd.
So a lot of Avantasia, a lot of Ed Guy, a lot of the stuff they produce. Yeah. A lot of AFM stuff, right?
She had the Exit Eden. The
Frontiers.
Project.
That's what I was thinking of. Frontiers.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool, man. That's what I'm geeking out on. And I'm going to check that podcast out too.
It's good.
What do we got coming next?
Ministry.
Yeah, this is Ministry. This is a song called Alert Level. This is the Quarantine remix. This is a song from their upcoming 15th studio album. It's not out yet. This is a digital single. Basically, they are like, Al Jorgensen was working on the album, and he had this song finished, and once the quarantine hit, he's like, I have the song. It's pretty much ready to go. It basically talks about what's going on in the world right now. So they sort of retooled it a little bit and released it as a digital single. So this is, and it's very old school Ministry sounding with some of the instrumentation. So I don't know if you're a Ministry fan like I am.
Not as much.
Okay. You're like, not at all.
I mean, I whenever I hear Ministry, I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then I never want to go listen to them on my own, yeah, basically.
Okay. I can, that's fine. I can see that. I can accept that answer. I don't enjoy the answer, but I can accept it. No, I'm joking. Okay. So this is something new from Ministry called Alert Level Quarantine Remix. And I figured this was it's a good quarantine song to be listening to right now because, you know, Ministry, they love the government. You know what I mean? That's sarcasm for sure.
I'm not a fan of the government right now myself, so I'll probably enjoy this.
There you go. All right, we'll be right back.
How concerned are you?
Is it just me, or is Edge of Eternity like a lot of song titles, album titles, and metal? It feels like I've heard that like way more than other things, as far as like a repeated title of stuff.
What else can you name off the top of your head?
See, that's the problem. I feel like I'm just thinking of stuff that's close to it, you know, like Edge of Sanity or Edge of Paradise, or
maybe it's just Edge of that you're thinking of.
Yeah.
What'd you say was the last one?
Edge of Thorns.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, this was Lore. Edge of Eternity, the title track off the album Edge of Eternity.
EP, yeah.
Yeah, this is a weird release for me, because I've listened to it because I was excited about it, and it's not what I remember Lore's last album sounding like, but I haven't admittedly gone back and listened to that one to compare, so.
Yeah, I didn't know about these guys until this album. This popped up on my Spotify playlist one day, and this is pretty cool stuff, man. It's very avant-garde, you know, power metal style. I want to say style in quotes because it's not really. They use a lot of gang vocals on this song, like a lot of gang chorus style stuff. I just think it's interesting and different, and that's really what catches my attention a lot. You know what I mean? Because it doesn't sound like everything else.
Yeah, I mean, and their album that came out with a couple years ago, In Forgotten Sleep, it's a strange bird too.
Yes,
they have a really unique sound. It's like folky at times, and kind of sometimes a little bit of tinge of like power metal, but not quite all into the power metal realm. So they're like a hybrid, you know, of sounds.
Epic, progressive, folk, power metal.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love and it's not like the gang vocals, it's not like overkill gang vocals, but it's there. It can be at times on this song, at least, you know, it's not just like the chorus. It's like a lot of the song is done in this style, but it's cool.
Right,
though.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm enjoying these guys. They are from Pennsylvania. They're called Lore, and they have the little umlaut above the O.
Yeah. So, I don't know how that's supposed to change the pronunciation.
I don't know.
I don't think it does.
It doesn't. It's like in Motorhead. It doesn't.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Motley Crue told me it doesn't change the pronunciation.
That's right. It's Motley Crue. So, yeah, I'm really enjoying these guys. Give them check it out. This is their second release. It's sort of an EP, so it's like half an hour long. But, yeah. It's called Edge of Eternity is the name of the EP. There you go. Lore from Pennsylvania. Unsigned, independent. I'm sure you can go check them out on Bandcamp on Fridays right now. If you didn't know, on Bandcamp, if you purchase anything, 100% of the purchase that you make goes straight to the band. I don't know how long they're going to be doing that for, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Those are the band that you really like and want to support, know to go buy their stuff on Fridays, and they'll receive all of that money instead of Bandcamp taking their cut out of it. It's to really support the band right now during this time of uncertainty. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I've bought a few things here and there, just to support some local friends of mine and that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, cool.
Very cool. Before Lore, we had Ministry Alert Level, a quarantine remix that's from the upcoming album. What's it called again? I don't even remember. I don't remember the name of the album, but it's coming out soon, I guess.
Quarantine remix. I sometimes wonder if bands in the future are going to, you know, reference this time period and stuff. I don't know if it's something a lot of people want to remember or relive, you know?
I don't know. It's, you know, it's been hard for music. I know some bands have pushed back releases, like Enslaved and things like that. Some bands might not survive, just like any right. We're living in uncertain times right now. Stores might close down for good. Restaurants are closing down for good. It's just, it's hard out there. And bands that are, you know, not major label, even major label artists and stuff like that are struggling right now. And they're trying to do what they can to make money, doing live streams, selling limited edition merchandise right now until they can get back out there. All the concerts that I wanted to see this year are canceled. Even, I don't know, it's just hard right now, man. We gotta stay true and support the band that we love. If they're doing something special, we gotta, you know, give them our money if we can. If you can't do it, don't. You come first, you know what I mean? Taking care of you and your family comes first. But if you have extra anything and you want to support these bands that you love, go ahead and do that, because we're not asking anything from you from this podcast. We never have. We're never going to. We do this because we love the music. We love being metal fans, and we're not trying to make any money. We actually lose money every month doing this show, or at least I do. I know that for sure. but so if you want to support us, just go and listen to some of these bands that we play on the show. And, you know, support them when they do, you know, if they have a Bandcamp release or you want to go buy their CD or their vinyl, go do that. And is it the way you can support us is by letting your friends know about the show. Let them know that you listen to MSRcast and you've been doing that for 15 years coming up soon. We'll have some big news about that soon in September. Actually, September 7th is the 15th anniversary of doing MSRcast. Can you believe that?
Time flies.
Oh my God, it does fly, man. So we have some huge news and some cool behind-the-scenes things, stuff that we're working on for a very special episode that will be coming out on that day. So I'm excited to announce more down the line when we get a little bit closer to that. But in the meantime, if you still want to support us at MSRcast on all the social medias, at Metal Geeks on the social medias, of course, you can find us on any of your favorite podcatchers. We're on Spotify and Stitcher and Apple Podcasts and all those cool places. So listen to us, support us, support the bands that we do play, because no matter what band, if it's a huge band like Paradise Lost or a smaller unsigned band like Lore, we love metal just the same, and we want you to support all metal, no matter who they are.
Yeah.
Did I say everything good?
Yeah. I mean, did I
speak good?
I feel pretty optimistic that a lot of bands will make it through.
I think so too.
Particularly because a lot of bands a lot of these guys have other day jobs anyway, and provided that those situations are still intact, I feel like a lot of these bands set their operations up where they can just kind of pick up, put it on ice, and then pick up where they left off. It's not like the bands that are going to have the hardest time are the ones who have to, who have been doing this full time and are trying to, tour to make money and pay their bills. That's going to be the hard one.
Yes. Metallica will be fine.
Metallica will be fine, but, you know, if you're a band like
Amorphous, you know, or Devin Townsend or somebody like that, Insomnium, who've had to cancel two tours this year.
Yeah, I mean, and those guys have day jobs too, so it's like financing a lot of the stuff themselves. You know?
They are. So, I mean, if they're doing a live stream and you love the band, give your $10, give your $20, whatever it is, you know what I mean?
You know, it's interesting. I was watching an old Facebook Live from the middle of April with John Schaefer on his Iced Earth page, the official page. He did like a long 2-hour thing, and he basically said at one point, he's like, we got really lucky not scheduling the Demons and Wizards tour for this spring, which they were thinking about doing, but they ended up just doing the tour last summer, which I went to.
If we had done that,
we would have been like massively in debt, and we got lucky by not having anything on the books right now. So,
yeah, it's been crazy, man. It's affecting everything. things are starting to slowly come back to life. However good or bad that is, I don't really want to get too much into that and my opinions on that. But I mean, they just announced NBA is going to be doing the rest of their season at Disney World at their sport Wide World of Sports there, and they're going to be living there for a while. And I mean, you got to do what you got to do to keep the stuff going and not have huge amounts of people at these events. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's time for major concerts yet. Maybe local shows can start slowly. Like you said, a lot of local tribute bands are performing and that type of stuff. That's fine. If you really want to go to a show, be safe, do your social distancing, wear your mask, do the same thing that you need to do when you go to a grocery store, all that kind of stuff.
I mean, there's not going to be a lot of people at those shows, I imagine.
Right.
You know, the thing with concerts are going to follow sporting events. Like sports are, whether you like it or not, they're gonna set the tone for all of this, because as soon as
there's more money in it.
Because we can speak locally in Texas. Mm-hmm. The governor has announced that I think starting in July, sporting events can happen in Houston in terms of or in Texas in terms of keeping the cap of the attendance below a certain level.
Yeah.
And all metal concerts will guarantee you fall under that certain level, except for Metallica or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something, I guess, you know.
I mean, you know, we were planning, we were supposed to go, we were actually, today, as we record this, we were supposed to be flying back from Disney World.
Yeah.
So, we've sort of, that whole thing right now, we've moved our trip, tentatively till September, but we're probably going to cancel that too, because I don't think it's time yet. They're going to open up in July. I don't want to get too far into all the details and everything, but you have to wear a mask. They're social distancing. They're keeping it, at least for the first part, only people that have reservations can make, you have to make a reservation every day. So, like, where we're going, supposedly, we bought a 7-day pass, but if you don't get a reservation for every day, you don't get to go into the park. Mm-hmm. Or any park, if you don't get a reservation. And they're doing away with all food reservations, all fast pass reservations, all that kind of stuff, trying to keep social distancing. Fine, I understand all that kind of stuff, right? But it doesn't feel like I'm going to get my money's worth by doing that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we're probably going to move till next year. Just because of the safe side, but to get the most out of our money.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like,
it's expensive to go. It's very expensive to go. And why go if you can't guarantee, okay, I've paid $800 or $900 in passes. If I can't go every day, I've lost that money. What's the point? You know what I mean?
Now, if they, say, gave you a considerable discount on all that, would you consider?
Maybe, yes. Possibly.
Because, you know, that's the dilemma that, like, college students are going to face when some of these universities are saying they're not going to have on-campus learning in fall.
Right. Like,
why would you pay for a full semester of school if you can't even go there? You know, like, digital classes are shit, you know? So
they're better than they used to be, yeah, for sure. But, yeah. But if I can't be guaranteed that, okay, there's four parks in Disney World, right? If I can be guaranteed that every day I'll get into at least one of the four parks,
right?
I might be okay with that. But what I'm not okay with right now is having to wear a mask, which I 100% support people wearing masks out in public, right? You're supposed to. It's not to protect yourself, it's to protect other people. So if you are asymptomatic and you might have it, if you're not wearing a mask, you're being selfish and you're not protecting other people around you. You know what I mean? The reason why you wear a mask is you possibly could have symptoms and you don't know it, and you're protecting other people. That's just the scientific part about it. I cannot wear a mask around Disney World for 8 to 9 hours a day
just the
heat. We go to the grocery store for 45 minutes and I'm just like, all right, I'm done. I can't wear this anymore. I'm sweating through it. I'm just like, nope, can't do it. It's done. There's just no way I can do that. And I get claustrophobic too. So wearing this mask, I have trouble breathing correctly because I'm just like hyperventilating. And this is like, I can't do it.
Yeah. And then you get to the front and all the employees at the checkout lines aren't wearing masks. You're just sort of like, well, you know,
well, they do have those plastic dividers now, at least, or protection, you know, there's something at least. I know. Like I said, and there's some stores are not even requiring masks now. It's like, come on, it's not time. Well, we're getting way off topic. I don't want to bitch about shit.
I could do a whole podcast on what I feel about all this stuff.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Probably piss off a lot of people, I think.
That's why we're going to move on.
Yeah,
I think so. We're not getting political here. We're just talking. We're just talking here, all right?
Everyday grievances.
That's right. Like I said earlier, I think I told you I went to Walmart and HEB today to get groceries and get some other supplies we needed. And it was just like, by the time we were done, I was like, fuck, I can't wear this anymore. I'm done. Yeah, I'm over it. So.
Yeah.
Yep. Can't do, especially like in Florida heat, the humidity, just... You can't take it off. No, I can't.
Well, then you're going to be constantly touching your face to get rid of sweat.
Yes.
You know, pouring down your face. You'd have to wear one of those headbands like LeBron wears so he can catch everything. It'd be a bad situation.
I mean, yeah, just the one I was wearing today, I kept on wanting to do that because I was sweating so much just by wearing it and having this beard and walking in a store. And there was air conditioning in the store. But I was still sweating my ass off. You know what I mean?
Have you ever thought about shaving the beard?
Okay. Yes. Maybe.
I think it's all bullshit, but I've read some stuff about how, hey, if you have a beard, it'd be more of a trap for corona. It's like, go fuck yourself. How about that? No, if people want to have beards, let them have beards.
Yeah. I haven't shaved since this whole thing started, so.
Yeah, I actually went and got a haircut a couple weeks ago.
Did you really?
Yeah.
How did that go? Do you have to wear a mask all the time?
Yeah, you have to wear a mask. The lady cutting my hair, she was telling me that she's like, I fucking hate wearing these, like, all shift. And it's just terrible. Like, every time in between customers, she goes in the back and takes it off and stuff. And yeah,
I don't blame her. Yeah, I haven't gone. I need to get one really badly, but I haven't done that yet. I need to.
They're very clean about it. And, you know, I saw them, like, sanitizing everything. And you have to wear a mask to come in.
Where'd you go to?
I go to the Sport Clips.
Sport Clips, okay. That makes me feel a little bit better. I might get my haircut then. They won't do my beard because I have to leave a mask on, but...
Most of them are like, you can't even enter until it's your time, your appointment time, and then they'll let you in.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to... I mean, even some of these places still, like, you know, GameStop still, it's like you're only allowed to have like five people in a store at one time, you know?
Yeah, it should be higher now for us, 50% now.
Is it?
In Texas, yeah, starting yesterday. So,
all right.
And restaurants are at 75%. So
I'm not ready for that yet.
I've been.
Have you?
Yeah, I actually went to a house party the other week. It was like, well, like a adult dinner party. I was like, all right, let's go.
Oh, wow. I haven't been. The only people I've physically been around are, you know, people in stores and my wife. I haven't seen any of my friends. I haven't seen anybody in like months. It's all been virtually.
Yeah. So yeah, it's sucked. It's definitely sucks.
Yeah. We're not ready. We were talking about that day because we were out running errands today. We're like, what do you want to do for lunch or for breakfast? It's like, we drove by an IHOP. I'm like, you want to go to IHOP? We're like, I don't know. I'm not ready yet.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess I just feel like, yeah, as long as I'm washing my hands and stuff, it's just have to take precautions and stuff.
Yeah, okay. I know.
I
just don't trust other people right now. You know, that's my big deal. Yeah. I don't trust people to do the same precautions that I'm doing.
Yeah, and I think everyone's comfort levels can be different. So, you know, it's all like personal choice. You know?
Like when I was in the store today, I went into the restroom there was a guy, this is going to sound really bad, okay, guys? There was a guy taking a dump, making super loud noises. I just went in there to take a leak, and I was, right before I was leaving, I was washing my hands, doing the whole 30-second bullshit. Guy gets out of the stall, walks out the door. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Number one, that's really disgusting, dude. But number two, look in the environment we're in. Just come wash your fucking hands. He just walked out.
After everything you've learned about, viruses in the past 2 months, come on.
I know. All right. We've gotten way off topic here.
That's outrageous.
So thanks for tuning in to this episode of Coronavirus 2020. Thanks for tuning in, really, to MSRcast. We really appreciate every single one of you guys for sticking with us for so long. Cannot wait to tell you what we have planned for our special anniversary show. But until then, we have some Doom to play for you.
Oh, yeah.
The brand new Sorcerer album is out. It's available. And it is so fucking good. I've had this promo for a few months now. And like maybe a month and a half. And I listen to it all the time. It's really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it would be hard for them to top Crowning of the Fire King. And I don't know. They might have done it.
Can I say something, and people don't hate me for saying this? I like this album better than the last Candlemass album.
Yeah, I could see that.
I just think their songwriting is at a different level right now. Speaking of Candlemass, who's on this track?
Johan himself.
Yeah, Johan Lundqvist, vocals on this album. I love the way they play off of each other on this album, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, his voice is a little bit more, I don't know, dry than Anders is. Anders is more of like a bombastic type of approach. But he's really subdued in here. So there's parts in the middle of the song where they sort of weave around each other. It's really good. And of course, Christian Niemann on guitars, the guitar work on Sorcerer stuff is just amazing. He's that fluid tone he has, that way that he writes and delivers those guitar melodies is he has a style that it's, if you go listen to the Therion stuff he worked on and you listen to the Sorcerer, you can see that style carries over. I think it's such a good record. The title track's my favorite song, but this is like right up there with it. So not a weak song on the album. It's just an amazing album.
It is. It really, really is. So we're going to get into the brand new Sorcerer. Before that, we have any last minute house cleaning we need to do. We talked about where people can find us. Where can they find you?
At themetalpigeon.com and the Metal Pigeon on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
What are you working on right now? What's your next post?
Just a big compilation of all of these albums. I need to. They're going to be reviewed in one big post. It's stuff I've been listening to since like mid-April through May on to now. So
very cool. Yeah, check out themetalpigeon.com for Sean's eloquently versions of everything that I want to say in writing, but I don't have the capability to do. That's a very, I'm giving you a huge compliment.
I appreciate that. I wrote the most critical piece on Nightwish I've ever had to write for the last update. Yeah. Which was on their new album. It was just, it's weird. When I finished writing that piece, I was actually thankful I didn't have to listen to it anymore. So,
oh my God.
That's the realm I'm in with that, with that record.
You know, the first song that I heard off that album, my complaint was her vocal melody was the same as the guitar melody, the way the song was written, and that just took me out of it. I don't remember which track it was, but I was like, that's just not right.
That's probably more Empu, the guitarist's fault than anything, because he's not the most imaginative guitarist. He's just kind of like a guy who's there for the crunch, the riffs.
Yeah.
You know,
and I love Floor. I still, she's one of my favorite vocalists, but But that, what's the album that came out before this?
Endless Forms, Most Beautiful. It's way better album. Yeah.
I loved that album. And I was never really a big Nightwish fan before Floor came into the band. I'll be honest with that. What's that vocalist they had before? I can't think of her name.
Annette
Olson, right?
Yeah.
Not a bad vocalist, but I don't know. It was very, the album that they did with her was very poppy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, Imaginarium was really diverse, I would say. But it had poppy aspects to it. Yeah.
I remember we saw them with Paradise Lost. Maybe, was she on more than one album?
Yeah, she was on two albums. Yeah, they came with Paradise Lost in 07.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I still have the autographed drumhead from that tour from 07. Yeah. And my wife, during Nightwish set, she said, they're like the Hannah Montana of metal when they were playing. I was like, oh, that actually makes sense.
I met them outside the bus at that show, actually.
Did you tell them they were the Hannah Montana of metal?
I did not tell them that.
You should have. That would have been great.
It's weird, you know, like, I keep, the thing that surprises me the most about them, just to finish the thought on Nightwish, is I think they're really underutilizing Flora Jansen, especially in the new album.
Yeah.
Like, I think she's a good singer. I don't think she's the greatest in the, you know, like, all these people rave about her. I'm like, oh, she's not that good, but she's good. But they're really underutilizing her and not making the best use of her talent. She's really minimized on the new album. It's sort of surprising, really. So,
wow.
Yeah.
All right. I've only listened to it once, I'll be honest. I haven't gone back to it. So, there you go. All right. Well, I think that about does it. So, thanks again for tuning into episode number 239 of MSRcast. I have been one of your co-hosts. I have been Carrie the Metal Geek, along with
Sean the Metal Pigeon.
And as always,
keep it metal.
I will, sir. Keep it metal indeed. Thank you. See you guys next time.
For peace throughout this land, hopeful we stand. These endless trials and the senseless acts by the henchmen of doom, the merciless pursuit of innocence. We pray for the light to shine and guide our way. No struggles in so heed the call, deliver us from fate.
For listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.